Unleavened Bread Ministries presents Hidden Manna for the End Time with your host, David Eales.
Hello, friends. This is David Eales. God bless you and thank you for joining us. We have some very important revelations to share with you that were shared with me over the last 30-something years, sometimes in word of knowledge or word of wisdom. They are very, I'll say, untraditional, but you should expect that in these days. The traditions of men have been making of no effect the Word of God. And these revelations will help you to cooperate with God in the time to come in manifesting His Son in you and in understanding the things that are going on around you and the great purpose that God has for these end times. May God give you eyes to see and ears to hear, so that these will be a great blessing unto you. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You may hear some things here that are not fitting with your traditions. God bless you.
Part 23, The Beast Covenant and Image.
All the other princes in the text were spirit principalities, all of them, that ruled beast empires, exactly like Rome. Okay? In Daniel's vision, in the very next chapter, in the beginning of the next chapter, he shares this vision of a man clothed with linen who is described like Christ. Most people believe he is Christ. I believe he is Christ. But at the very least, everybody will agree that he is a spirit and not a human. And he says, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days." What is he talking about? A man? No, he's talking about a principality, a demon spirit over an empire. Okay, over the Persian Empire. He withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, that's Michael the archangel, one of the chief princes. Now we know Michael's not a man. Again, we're talking about a principality, but now we're talking about a principality of God's kingdom. All right? Came to help me. Verse 20. I returned to fight with the prince of Persia. Again, he's talking about fighting with the principality that rules the Persian Empire. And when I go forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come. Why is that? Because Greece followed Persia. In fact, Rome followed those two. It was Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And they conquered one another. And in turn, a principality took over the reins every time one of these kingdoms conquered, you see. And Rome was the third in line. So in the very text, he's telling you that the princes he's talking about are demons. They're not men. Now that's going to clear up a lot of things for you. There's a lot of verses that are suddenly going to fit. Okay? I told you Gog is one of those examples. Gog is not a human. 1,000 years after his army is destroyed, didn't say he was destroyed, said his army was destroyed. 1,000 years later, he starts another war. Okay? Then came the prince of Rome, whose empire was smitten unto death, which is what the Bible says. And if the empire was smitten unto death, what happened to the principality? He went right back to the pit. The Bible says in 2 Peter that God holds those in the pit and ready for judgment. In other words, he looses them when he wants to. He permits Apollyon, who is the king angel of the pit, to loose them in a time of judgment, to bring judgment. The prince returns, Daniel 12 and 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince who standeth for the children of thy people. Again, God's people changed. You know what God said? I will call that my people which was not my people, and them beloved that were not. I will call them my people which were not my people. We skipped a slide here somehow. Michael is a prince from heaven over a body inhabited by Christ, who is a king. Every prince is under a king, right? The beast is a prince from the abyss over a body that's inhabited by Satan, a king. We're going to look at that verse, okay? I want you to notice something. Whenever the kingdom of the devil is spoken about, it's always the opposite of the kingdom of God, but it's always the same. It's just opposite. It's the same, but it's opposite, because the devil always seeks to emulate God. And besides that, God is sovereign and he does what he wants to do too, right? The principality of the old Roman Empire will return from the abyss to rule the world once again in the revived Roman Empire of all nations. And I'm going to prove that to you about the all nations part, because what we've heard about the Roman Empire is definitely not true. Okay. Revelation 17 and 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not. Of course, it was in the sixth head, which was Rome. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, in the sixth head. He was, and he is not, and is about to come up out of the abyss. Now, this beast is a spirit. He's not a man. But spirits abide in bodies. And he's going to abide in a body. And he's going to go into perdition. He comes out of the abyss and he goes into perdition. You know what a body of people is on this earth? The sons of perdition, which means the sons of destruction. Perdition means destruction. Apollyon is the word for perdition or destruction. And the angel of the abyss, Apollyon, notice that. The destroyer inhabits the destroyed. He enters into those who are going to be destroyed. And he inhabits the body of all mankind outside of Christ. We're going to see that. All right? The sixth head, Rome, is being revived by stages in the seventh and eighth heads. The seventh head is the dragon kingdom with the seven heads and ten horns, which is inhabited by a spirit from the abyss that rules the whole world. Revelation 12 and 9 tells us that. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world, the whole world. And they worshiped the dragon because he gave his authority unto the beast. So you see, a seven-headed, ten-horned dragon is inhabited by Satan. A spirit from the abyss inhabits a body of mankind. And everyone who's not born again is a child of his. So, but the dragon is just the first stage. The second stage is the beast. And the dragon is going to give his authority unto the beast. We'll see those stages later. Revelation 13 and 1, and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having ten horns and seven heads. And I saw one of his heads. Notice, we have to rethink this thing about the Antichrist. It's one of his heads. We're not talking about a man who's smitten unto death. We're talking about one of the heads of this seven-headed, ten-horned beast. Okay, one of his heads is talking about Rome. Rome is the empire that was smitten unto death, and Rome is the empire that's going to be revived. One of his heads, as though it had been smitten unto death, and his death stroke was healed, and the whole earth wandered after the beast. The whole earth. The whole earth is going to worship this beast and be a member of its body. You understand, we as Christians, we worship Christ, but we're members of his body. And this is opposite, but equal. Okay. The fully restored Roman Empire is the eighth head. That's not where it starts, that's where it finishes. Revelation 17, 11. And the beast that was and is not is himself also an eighth and is of the seven. I want you to think about this. This beast is twofold. First of all, he's spirit. And second of all, he's a body of mankind. Okay? And we'll talk about how big that body is in a few minutes. But it says he's of the seven. Now, if you're talking about the spirit, which one of the seven is he? He's the sixth. Because that's the one that makes the covenant with many in our day. But if you're talking about the body of the seven, it's not the sixth, it's all seven. I literally asked God this many years ago. I said, Lord, which one of the seven? He said, all of them. The first time it ever came to me, well, it is all of them. Seven heads. Ten horns. All of them. You know, Daniel said, we tend to think that those seven heads passed away. They didn't pass away. They've never passed away. Nobody passes away. They just replicate themselves, you see. He said their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged. All of the beasts at once had a dominion over the earth. In fact, every one of them ruled the earth at one time. But that dominion passed away, but they continued. Their seed continued on. In fact, they're with us today. They're with us today in a kingdom. And if you stop to think about it, you'll know which kingdom that is. There's only one kingdom on earth that has all seven heads in it. All seven world-ruling empires is in one kingdom today. And the ten horns is in it too. There's only one. It's the UN. Right now, it's the UN. That won't last. The demon prince will rule under Satan, but over the body of Antichrist in the same way that Jesus rules under the Father, but over the body of Christ. Again, equal but opposite. In both cases, two rule in one body. Satan impersonates God. The Antichrist spirit from the abyss joins in. This is Satan's plan. Remember, he always emulates God. What did God do? God joined all of his people in one covenant. All of the saved are in one covenant by one spirit, the Spirit of Christ, right? And the Antichrist spirit from the abyss joins in covenant all of the lost. That's his plan. He wants to do exactly what Christ did. Christ is from heaven, he's from the pit. And in fact, everybody's from one place or the other. We're all born from one place or the other. As Christ is a life-giving spirit from heaven, inhabiting a corporate body, the Antichrist is a spirit from the abyss inhabiting a corporate body. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits. Now he's talking about spirits in men. He's not talking about dealing with demon spirits that are floating around in the air anywhere. He's talking about demons in men. Because he goes on to say, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. It's talking about demon spirits in men. Every spirit in man, notice, every spirit in man. We're talking about a lot of spirits here. Every spirit in man that confesses that Jesus Christ is, not has, come in the flesh is of God. It's not talking about Jesus having come in the flesh. It's talking about Jesus presently coming in the flesh. We know that Jesus is not coming in his flesh, his personal flesh, ever again. He's coming in the flesh of his body. And to discern whether a person's spirit is a good spirit or a bad spirit, all we have to know is, does that spirit confess that Jesus Christ is come in that flesh? That's what we want to know. And you know, and I know, that when we talk to people, their spirit confesses something to us. It either confesses that Jesus is in there or that he's not. Right? And that's what this verse is talking about. That Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Because we studied in the last conference tapes that Jesus is coming in two ways. He's first of all coming as an epiphany, which means a shining forth from his people. And then he's coming for his people, which is a parousia. And some of your Bibles don't differentiate those two terms very well. Others do a much better job. So Jesus' plan is to come in his body, then for his body. Notice this. Every spirit, again we're talking about in man, every spirit that confesseth not Jesus is not of God. Notice this. Look very carefully. Accept just what it says. Don't let your reason ruin what it says. It says, this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Now go back to the beginning. Every spirit is the spirit of the Antichrist. You see that? Every spirit is the spirit of the Antichrist. Let it soak in. That's what the Bible says. The Bible, not one time, says there is a man called the Antichrist. Every spirit, a corporate body of spirits, you know, every man in whom Christ does not live, that does not confess Jesus Christ, that corporate body of spirits is the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, we can prove this. Not only does it say it there, but it says it in other places. Whereof you have heard that it cometh. Have we heard that this Antichrist is coming? Of course we have. But our error is the same as their error. Okay? And now it is in the world already. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Notice it's you and it's them. It's the one in whom Christ lives and the one in whom the world is, the spirit of the world is, right? The spirit of Antichrist is. Because greater is he that is in you, that's Christ, than he that is in the world, that's Antichrist. We have no choice. You know, you either have Christ or Antichrist. And the Antichrist is just like the Christ. You know who the Christ is in the earth today? That's right. And who is the Antichrist in the earth today? Every spirit. Every spirit. Remember that. Because what we've been used to repeating many times is just tradition, and it's not in the Bible. You can't find one verse that says that. Not one verse. And it's not the truth. The beast is a corporate body with one spirit. Ecclesiastes 3 and 18. I said in my heart, it is because of the sons of men that God may prove them, that they may see that they themselves are beasts. You think that man has some preeminence above the beast? He said differently. You hear that man is different. He's higher than the beast because he has a soul. Or some people say because he has a spirit. But actually the Bible says animals have both of those, the soul and the spirit. It says both of those. So that's not true, because unregenerate man is no different from a beast. Even when man was created on the sixth day, he was created at the same time as the rest of the beasts. It's only born again man that's higher, not the unregenerate man. I said in my heart, it's because of the sons of men that God may prove them, that they may see that they themselves are beasts. They have all one breath. We just saw that in the last slide. They have all one breath. The word breath is the Hebrew word for spirit. The same word, the same word. They all have one spirit. They have one corporate spirit. And they are one corporate body. Their spirit's from the abyss, ours is from heaven. And man hath no preeminence above the beast. He's not any better than the beast. Matthew 24 and 40. Then shall two men be in the field. Jesus said the field in the parable of the sower was the world. And then shall two men be in the field. One is taken and one is left. That sounds like there's only two men on earth, right? Well, as a matter of fact, as we are one man in Christ, Galatians 3 and 28, so the whole world lieth in the evil one. There is only two men on earth. There's only two men on earth, two corporate bodies of people on this earth. And 1 John 15 and 19 says that. Matthew 12 and 30, he that is not with me, Christ, is against me, Antichrist. There's only two. You're either for him or you're against him. There's no gray in between, right? Now, I want to show you how big this body of the Antichrist beast is from the scriptures, okay? The beast body and his covenant. After the first two world ruling kingdoms, which were Egypt and Assyria, by the way, all these world ruling kingdoms all dominated Israel. Little Israel. And the reason was God raised them up for that purpose. Because Israel was in apostasy, God raised up a world ruling kingdom to conquer them or to keep them in bondage. And the thing that's different about our day is now Israel is much bigger. He is an Israelite who was one inwardly in the circumcision of the heart rather than outwardly in the circumcision of the flesh. You see what I mean? We are Israelites. We were grafted into the olive tree of all Israel. And we are now not a little geographic nation, but we are a nation that covers the earth. So God did something different with the beast, something different than he's done before. He was always dealing with a geographic people, his people, which was Israel, and he used a geographic empire. Now he's talking about a corporate empire to deal with a corporate body of people. That's why this last beast is different from all the rest, because he is now, the 70th week is now determined upon thy people, the church, which is a corporate body that's worldwide. He needed a worldwide beast. And Daniel had a vision of the next six empires. In other words, Daniel's vision started in his day. It didn't go back to Egypt and Assyria, which was before his day. The book of Revelation goes back to Egypt and Assyria because it uses seven heads, you see. But Daniel started in his day, okay? And in his vision, he saw the next six kingdoms in one image. Now, if you want to know who the image of the beast is, the image of the beast is all nations. Watch. Daniel 2 and 31. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. An image is a picture, right? If you want to know what the beast looks like, look at this picture. This image, which was mighty, and whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the aspect thereof was terrible. And as for this image, its head was of fine gold. And Daniel told us that the head was Babylon, the king of Babylon. The head was of fine gold, Babylon. That's the third kingdom, okay? Its breast and its arms of silver. That was Medo-Persia. That was the fourth kingdom. And its belly and its thighs of brass. That's Greece, the fifth kingdom. And its legs of iron. That's Rome, the sixth kingdom. Now, from that point on, the feet, which were part of iron and part of clay, represent two kingdoms. Daniel saw the fourth kingdom as lasting all the way up until the end, you see, because Rome really never died. It was smitten unto death, but it never died, okay? And it didn't die because the feet, which were part of iron and part of clay, which we're going to see in our day, are going to be manifested in two stages. We're going to see that. The first stage, of course, is the dragon, which is the seventh kingdom, and the beast, which is the eighth kingdom. But you can see the image is these world-ruling empires and everybody that's under them. The image of the beast is very, very big. Remember, the image of the beast is a picture of him. And there's only two men in the earth. The eight world-ruling kingdoms and all under them represent the United Nations in one beast. The United Nations is the only government on earth that has all seven heads and all ten horns in it right now. And it is the foundation for the coming dragon kingdom and the following beast kingdom. In the common historical view, Daniel identified the first head in his day as the king of Babylon, saying, "Thou art the head of gold." The common historical view is, historically, one kingdom preceded the next, so on and so forth, all the way down through history. But I believe that you already know that there is also an end time view for the same vision. Okay? And that's obvious. It says the end time view is that America is the head of gold. Babylon was called the Great Eagle in Ezekiel 17. And it was the greatest military and industrial and merchant nation of their day. Well, that describes America now. America's the Great Eagle. She is now the head of gold. In the end time view, all of these are still true. We know there is an end time view because he told Nebuchadnezzar that this is what shall be in the latter days. So there is an end time view. Now underneath the head of gold was, of course, the Medo-Persian bear. And today, who's second in command of the world, would you say? The bear, Russia, right? So you can see that there is an end time view. And that the end time view is the image of the beast. See, it's not a computer, and it's not some statue that talks. Okay. The traditional EU beast theory is just dead wrong. This is very common. I've been saying for 20 years that was totally wrong because the Lord showed me otherwise. In Daniel 2 and 41, "And whereas thou sawest the feet and the ten toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, it shall be a divided kingdom. And whereas thou sawest that the iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men." Wow. So Rome mixed with the seed of men. It didn't stay like it was. Okay. "But they shall not cleave one to another." Now see what they're trying to do when they make the EU, the beast kingdom, is that They're trying to put Rome back in its original geographic position, all cleaving to itself as one nation. But Daniel said that's not to be. It is not going to cleave one to another. It's going to be separated by the clay. And the clay, of course, is not iron. The clay represents nations that were never part of the original Roman Empire. Okay? But now the clay is included. Other nations are included. But the clay separates the iron. If you take the languages of the original Roman Empire, the different languages that were in the original Roman Empire, and follow them through history from that time to this, you follow those languages, you know where they go? All over the globe. The original Roman Empire is now separated by the clay, and it's all over the globe, everywhere. It's not contained within the European Union, and never was, because the European Union doesn't make up all the nations that were in, and it has nations that were not in the Roman Empire. The European Union is mostly Western Roman Empire, but the Eastern Roman Empire went up through the East Bloc nations. A lot of East Bloc nations were in the Eastern Roman Empire. So, the EU doesn't fit any way you try to make it fit. I remember when it went past 10 nations into 12 and 13, and then people had to start changing their theology. They thought it was the 10 kings, and when it went to 12 and 13, they said, well, there's 13, and we're going to lose three heads. But it doesn't say that. The Bible says there were 10, and it loses three heads. See? And then it went past that. So people are very confused. But the truth is, it has nothing to do with what we're talking about. It's just a part of the end time beast. Okay? The whole earth is in the body of the last United Nations beast. The whole earth. Daniel 7 and 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be different from all the kingdoms. Why is it different? Because now we're talking about a corporate kingdom instead of an individual kingdom. This kingdom has all seven individual kingdoms in it. Okay? Which shall be different from all the kingdoms, the corporate kingdom, and shall devour the whole earth. What does that tell you? The whole earth is inside the body of this last beast. It shall devour the whole earth. Now, people think that the beast is going to devour by war the whole earth. That's not true. What beast is on the earth today that has already devoured the whole earth and it wasn't by war? The United Nations. It's already devoured the whole earth. Is there going to be wars? Yes, many wars. There's going to be a civil war that is going to be the first real world war the world has ever had. You know, we've never really had a world war. But when you have an individual kingdom and they have a civil war, that's pretty bad. But when you have a corporate kingdom that covers the earth and you have a civil war, that's real bad. So this last kingdom devours the whole earth. Now we're talking about a big beast.
This series by David Eales will be continued on our next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. For more information and materials, go to www.americaslastdays.com.